All right. Thank you so much. Well, God bless you. It's good to see everybody. Let me take a look at y'all. Y'all look good. Yeah? Sarah, good night. Now, I know her from way back, and I would have had to pull her molars to get her up and sing in front of people. She just went ahead and did that all free today. Amen? Well, glory to God. Go ahead and have a seat. I know they introduced me. I am Pastor Randell McNutt. I'm the senior pastor of West Coast Believer Center International. And it's good to be here. They also call me Pastor Randy or Pastor or Hey That Guy or Mr. Clean. I mean, it's all good. I mean, they pretty much call me. But I'm going to go ahead and talk about, I know, the elephant in the room. Y'all are asking and wondering how I got my hair this way. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of hard work, right? No, I noticed that, just so you know, if I get close to you and you see this little red in my eye, it's because my wife is abusive, so. No, I'm kidding. She's not that way. She's a really good girl. I'm safe. Amen. Well, I just want to send Pastor Paulette's love. I talked to her yesterday, and she wanted to make sure that I greeted you guys and let you know how much she misses you and loves you, but how many know that every once in a while we got to go out and get some rest? Come on. I know that, and I appreciate that a lot more now than I did then, you know, but amen, I appreciate that, and I thank her, and I know that she takes this pulpit very seriously. So it's a great honor for me to be able to be here and minister to you all. I believe God's given me a word for the day. I noticed that the front row's empty, and it's probably because you ever been to a Gallagher show? No? Where he busts those watermelons on the front row? Yeah, well, when I preach, I spit, so they probably just clearing that front row. Amen? I'm kidding. One of the things you got to know about me is I follow the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not be boring. Come on. Listen, church is fun. I mean, I don't know. I know sometimes they have this perception out there in the world that when you come in here, everything becomes humdrum. I don't know about you, but my life changed when I got into church. I mean, I got some joy where there was no joy. I got happiness where there was no happiness. I got something inside me that changed my life, and listen, I was crazy then. You think I was crazy then. I'm crazy now behind this pulpit. Y'all don't even know. Come on, I mean, I'm crazy for Jesus, amen, and I love it, and I'll do my best to, amen, I'll do my best to follow through what it is that God is asking me to do this morning, and just let the Holy Spirit flow and minister. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit and your presence. I ask that I decrease and you increase. Lord, it's about you. It's always been about you. I'm only an instrument. I pray that you do what you will to have done today. And let your name be glorified. Let your presence be exalted. And let your people be ministered to in only a way that you can do. And I give you all glory and praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. All right. So y'all just say amen one more time. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So I preach with that. Y'all, if you stop saying amen, I'm going to stop preaching and looking at you. I'm kidding. I won't. But the Lord's been ministering in our church in a way that is setting out. Oh, I don't know. Do you guys film this? So I move around a lot. So I'm sorry in advance. Sorry in advance. I'll probably be running before the night's over or the morning's over. Amen. He's been ministering this year, and we have our leaders and our apostles over our ministry who's sought God for the word for this year. And the word for this year is 2025. We're going to the other side. Come on. If you haven't felt it yet, there is a complete atmosphere change happening in the United States. Come on, I'm not trying to get all political on you or anything like that, but you can feel it. You can feel there's something going on in the spirit. There's something happening in this time, and we are here for a reason and a season. So if we're here for a reason, then our purpose is to find out what God's plan is. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is here to help us, right? Y'all know what a helper is. Now, too many people think the Holy Spirit's a doer. Holy Spirit, go do that. Holy Spirit, go do that. But how many know the Holy Spirit is a helper? If I ask somebody, hey, can you help me move that pulpit? And I just stand there, are they helping me or are they doing it? They're doing it. What does the Holy Spirit do? Come right up next to you. You ready? Let's go do that, right? Come on, so he's our helper, which means he lets us know things to come. I don't know why too many Christians are surprised when things are happening. Think about it. Why are you surprised when something happens in your life when the Bible's already told you things are going to happen? You already know there's going to be times of tribulation. You already know that there's going to be things that happen in your life that you don't have control over, but you do have somebody inside you that does have control. So you already know things that are going to line up and lay out in front of your life, and there is a plan and there's a purpose. He says, I have a future and a hope for you. So if he knows the thoughts that he has for us and he has a future and a hope for us, that means he already knows where we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to get there. So why don't we just go ahead and go to the author and find out what he wants to say about it? And then when you go and find out what he wants to say about it, then he's going to lay it out. This is what I need you to do. You don't need to know the whole story, because if I gave you the whole story, you'd make your own plan. Oh, y'all know it's true. Right? You know, sometimes it's like, you know, you pray over somebody and you'll say, God said, you're going to be a preacher tomorrow, right? So what are they going to do tomorrow? They're going to quit their job and they're going to go start a church. Did God say you're going to be a preacher tomorrow? Or did he just say you're going to be a preacher, right? Come on, how many know David got anointed to be king when he was a kid? Do you think he turned around to his brother and said, well, bow down, I'm king? When did he get that kingship? 20 years later. 20 years later, he became king. Why? Come on. That was just God letting him know, you're going to be king. But you got to learn some things. First of all, you got to learn how to kill a bear. You got to learn how to kill a lion. You got to learn how to worship. You got to learn how to tame the beast and the enemy who wants to kill you. And you need to learn how to war. Come on, he is. Hey, Saul killed his thousand, but David his 10,000s. You got to learn how to deal with people when they don't like you, and they want to kill you, and they jealous of you. Come on, he had to learn some things before he became king. Amen? So God's got a purpose and a plan for us, and we are going to the other side. Come on, we're going to the other side. Listen, one thing you'll know about me is when I'm praying and I'm preaching and I'm believing for God, because I believe the Holy Spirit's going to move. Come on, I believe that. I'm nobody special. It's just my job to do the best I can to make sure that I'm following his leading and what he wants to do. That's just my job, right? We're all the same when it comes to the cross. We're all the same. The ground on the cross is the same. We're just functionally different. Come on now, if everybody was preachers, nobody would be listening. Right? You'd be sitting there, oh, I can preach that better. Well, why ain't he using this scripture? Come on, now, if everybody is functionally different. Everybody has a place. I have a place, you have a place, we all have a place. That's why when he was ministering the next man up, that blessed my heart, because that's how we are in church. Listen, it's the next man up. Right? You're reproducing yourself. If you're reproducing yourself, you don't have to worry about the next man up. Come on, you don't have to worry about that. But I thank God for my opportunity to hear and minister here and what God's getting ready to do. And I wanted to thank Ryan and Michelle. If you didn't know, I was a youth pastor here. I was a youth pastor here for years, many years back. And they were in my youth. And now, you know, him and his wife, they assist me and my wife in ministry. You're in a church, so, you know, you got to love that. Come on, wave at them. Come on, there you go. And their son, amen. Glory to God. So go with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Familiar scripture with some, I'm sure. It says, on the same day when they had come, he had said to them, let us go over to the other side. Say, let us go over to the other side. What did he say to them? Let us go over to the other side. And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along with some of the boats as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. Say, windstorm. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the storm asleep on a pillow. I want to stop there for a minute. So first of all, I want to make sure that we understand when God says something, how many know he's going to do it? The Bible says he's not one to lie, so if he's going to say something, and I think sometimes it's hard for believers to believe that when God says something, they're going to do it because they don't automatically see the side effects or the manifestation of what he says is going to happen. So then all of a sudden their belief system changes because they don't see what they should see, but we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Come on, we walk in the belief that God can do all things. Is there anything God can't do? No. So if there's nothing God can't do, then there's nothing impossible for him. And if he's not one to lie and he says you're going to the other side, how many know you're going to the other side? You just don't know the journey. You just don't know the full aspect of what's going to happen during that journey. You only know you're going to the other side. So the Bible says that he endured the cross, right? He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him, despising his shame, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father of God. How did he endure that cross? For the joy that was set before him. So he already knew the outcome of the cross. So he despised the cross, which means, listen, we all know he prayed, God, if it's your will, take it. You know, yeah, if you want to help a brother out and take this, we good. But not my will, your will. Right? So not my will, your will. So he laid it down. So he knew the joy that was set before him. He already knew the purpose. He already knew the outcome. And his joy was set on where he was going to go on the other side. It wasn't set on the problem that he was in the midst of it. The cross was the problem, but the joy was the answer. That was his future. That's where he was going. That's where God's plan was for him. Amen? So then here he is asleep. And then it says this, that he was asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace and be still. I want you to catch this because a lot of times we read this and I think we miss it. So here he says, he gives to them, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. He gave them direction, he gave them purpose, and he gave them a destiny. We're going to the other side. Now in the midst of that, he was asleep and resting. Why? Because he was resting in what he said. Any of you ever been in a situation in your life where you're wondering, God, don't you care? God, don't you see what's going on? Can't you see what's happening to me? Can't you see the problems that I'm going through? Are you asleep? Are you awake? Are you even paying attention? I'm about to die. Can't you see how overwhelmed I am? Can't you see this flood that is coming against me? All these things that are happening to me, can you not see? Wake up! Wake up, God, where are you? Anybody ever been there? Come on. Where was he? Asleep. Now, this is where I want to challenge you. What did he do when they finally woke him up? Did he go and coddle them with their emotions and their fear? Oh, baby, why are you scared? Are you scared? Are you okay? Well, come sit next to Daddy. Let me take care of that. Gosh, I was sleeping. I didn't know you were going through things. Did he do any of that? He didn't once meet their emotional or fear need. What did he do? He spoke to the problem. Be still. And what happened? It was still. You got to think about that, church. When God gives you a purpose and a promise, he already has a set plan. He already has all the substance you need to make that thing come to pass. During that journey, he has everything already purposed for you. You have your destination. You have your purpose. And he's already set that up. But when situations arise, then we wonder why things are happening the way they're happening. Too many, and here is the answer. Too many people are talking to God about the problem instead of talking to the problem about God. Oh, let me say that again because I don't think you heard me. Too many people are talking to God about the problem when they should be talking to the problem about how big their God is. Somebody should be coming up and listen, I don't care what's rising up in front of me. I don't care that these situations are happening. I don't care that this fear is trying to get a hold of me because my God is bigger than that. So I don't know what you're doing, but apparently you don't understand who I am. I am a child of the Most High God, and his plan for me is greater than anything you can throw in front of me. So let me know when you're ready to get slapped like a duck because it's about to happen. Come on, too many people are, oh, God, why is this happening? Oh, man, don't you care? Can't you see he didn't even talk to them about that? He went straight to the problem and told the problem, shut up. Sit down. Peace be to you. Oh, they were amazed. Who is this? What is this? That even the winds obey him, right? But here's the kicker. Y'all know who he's talking to, right? These are the disciples. These are the ones that he picked. These are the ones, disciple meaning student. These are the ones that are under his tutelage, been walking with him, watching him minister, seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, seeing all this happen. Him telling them this is what's going to happen. Then he turns around and addresses the problem and then looks at them and what does he say? Why is it that your faith is weak? It's not what he said. Why is it that you're worried? It's not what he said. Why is it that you're struggling? It's not what he said. Why is it you have no faith? This is his disciples, people. This is his disciples that he is addressing. Why is it that you have no faith? None. In this circumstance, I told you we're going to the other side. Why is it that you doubt what has been told to you? Why is it that when a circumstance comes up, you're struggling with that? Now, granted, life will throw you some things, unexpected things. Everybody know you have an adversary, right? Come on, you have somebody. When God gives you a word and a purpose and he tells you this is your future, this is where I want you to go, you might as well bank on it that your adversary is going to come and distract you. Right? Come on, what does the Bible say? He roams around like a lion, seeking in whom he may devour. Right? Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Right? You know what I see in that scripture? In whom he may devour. That means there's people he may not. Y'all get that, right? There's people he cannot. He just can't go around and do what he wants to do. There's some that he may not mess with, but he's looking for who he can. Where's that gap? Where's that area? Where's that feel that fear I can exploit? Where is that worry and anxiety that I can get in there and I can exploit that? I can get them thinking on them. I can get them worrying on it to where their faith is no longer in the capability of their God, but their faith is more worried about that problem than that God. Come on, church. We are believers. We are children of the Most High God, and it's about time that the church rises up and be the people they're called to be. So when people look at you, they say, I want what you got. But when they look at you and they see you more scared than what they're scared of, then they say, well, where's that God you've been talking about? Where's that power? Where's that anointing? Where's that authority? Where's that love? Where's all that you've been talking about, right? So going to the other side is a purpose and a destiny. When God says 2025, you're going to the other side, that means he already has a destination for you to be. You should celebrate that. You should celebrate the fact that God's got a plan for you. He's got a destination for you. He's got a place where he's trying to take you. A place where he's trying to get you to be. And he already has spoken it to you more than likely. Your faith has either weaned from it, thinking it's not going to happen because the manifestation of it hasn't happened yet. Right? How many know that we're in a fast food generation? We want everything fast. I don't know about you, but I got issues. One of my issues is when you go to McDonald's and you don't know what you want to order. I'm sorry. Their menu hasn't changed in 100,000 years. They have the same food. When you go there and you look at the menu and you're looking at it like, do you got tacos? You're in the wrong place. Right? And my patients, I'm like, listen, this is a fast food. If you don't know what you want, go to the window. Just get out and go in. Let the people that are driving through, drive through. Right? I'm kind of a dad joke guy, so. Any of you guys just get phone call after phone call after phone call from your bank just telling you how great you are? No? Mine's always calling me, telling me, you got an outstanding balance. Thank you. And I hang up. Why do you got to keep calling and telling me? I'm kidding. Come on, it's fun to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So God's got a plan. He's got a purpose and he's got a destination for you. But one thing you need to know is you're going to have to fight. Now listen, when God says you're going to the other side and you have a destination, you have an adversary that'll throw attractions and distractions. Now, it's not always distractions. I don't know about you, but this world is distracted. There's so many things that'll attract you and distract you, right? You know, you're one of those ones where you're all, squirrel. Right? Oh, Jesus is good. Squirrel. I mean, so many things that are going on that's grabbing you and grabbing your attention through situations, through family, through your children, through your wife, through your job, you know, all of these things. And what that is to you, and we'll get to that, what that means to you and what it is to you, we'll get a little bit farther. But one thing you got to know is you're going to have to fight. You will have to fight. I mean, I don't know why. Listen, when I was in the world, I'd fight you. You don't even know. I'll fight you. Y'all don't know me, right? Listen, I was that guy, because I wasn't as big as I am now. I was that guy, like my freshman year, junior year. I was 5'2". I'm 6'4 now, but I was 5'2". So I was a guy that they would dare me. McNutt, what? I dare you go in there and punch that guy. All right. Don't double dog dare me. Yeah, I mean, that's biblical. I mean, you double dog dare, you got to go do something, right? And I would go and I'd punch them to start the fight so they can all jump in. And then I become a Christian and I become a Lala. The fight comes. The enemy comes. I don't know what to do. God, help me. I don't know what to do. Bro, you better learn how to fight. Amen. You better learn how to pick up your... You got to know the rules. Right? Amen. You got to know what you got, what you don't got. Listen, I'll fight you even if I don't win. I'll fight you. I mean, I'm saved now. I'll fight you. Pastor, I'm sorry. Come after my wife. Come after my kids. You'll see the unsaved Randy. Come on. Listen, but all of a sudden we become Christians, we become powder puffs. Oh, I just don't know what to do. Dude, you were racking them in the day, and now you're, I don't know, what do I do? You fight. That's what you do. You fight. You just have to learn who you're fighting, or you're just shadow boxing. You think you're fighting, but you ain't fighting nobody. You better know the rules. You better know who you're fighting. You better know who your opponent is. Right? Nobody goes into a fight without knowing who their opponent is. You study them. You look at, okay, what does he do? What is he, where's his weakness at? What, that, and that's where you're going to exploit it, right? That's what the enemy does. He looks at you and looks for your weaknesses so he can exploit that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. That sounds so good, don't it? My God, I want to fight the good fight of faith. I want to see God move. But how many know if there's a good fight, there must be a not so good fight? He's saying, why couldn't he just say fight? Just fight. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Which means there's not a so good fight of faith. You better know some stuff, right? As believers and as Christians and as people, you know, when you claim to be a Christian, you know you're assuming the title of being Christ-like. I'm saying that my life and my dreams and my thoughts and how I want to do and my visions and my aspirations, they follow Christ. My life is no longer mine. I've surrendered it unto him, and whatever he wants me to do and however he wants me to use me, then that's what I'm surrendering my life to. I am a Christian. I've given my life to Christ. That means that, come on, you have surrendered your life to Christ. And by doing that, you claim the name Christian. But how many Christians ain't fighting? They're not believing. They're not trusting. They're not living right. Can I say it without y'all getting mad? Listen, if you ain't a Christian, quit saying you are. You're making us look bad. Right? Because the world's looking at you saying, what, are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a Christian. Come on. When are the Christians going to stand up and fight? When are they going to stand up and be recognized? I'm in the army. Count me in, Lord. I'll fight the good fight of faith. That means that even though I can't see the circumstances of it now, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. I've heard the words of your testimony. I've heard the testimonies of others. I've read your word where I am more than an overcomer. That means that those things that I'm coming into are only temporary. They're there to strengthen me and encourage me and make my faith greater, because how many know y'all have a measure of faith? A measure of faith, which means that means it's measurable. And when you come to a certain situation in your life and you can say, oh, God's got this. How? God's got this. You have faith for that. But when you come for a place in your life when the circumstance rise up and you go, I'm not sure, then you have met your measure. You have met your measure of faith. That doesn't mean that's the end of it. That just means now you know. You know where your faith has stopped. And now you build upon that. That's where you start thinking, all right, like you got to go into training. Okay, what does the scripture say about faith? What does the scripture say about God? Can my God do it? Can my God do it? Oh, it's a big thing. Oh, it's financially. I mean, sometimes I got more month at the end of my money than money at the end of my month. What am I going to do? Who's going to pay my rent? Do I got faith for that? God, do I believe that? And then what do you got to do? You got to start building that faith. What does the Bible say? He says that he'll give you the supplies. He cares for you. He's thinking about you. He'll give you all that you need. We're tithers. We're givers. We have tithers' rights. Tithers' rights? Whoa. What do you mean tithers' rights? That means when you are a tither, you have the right to look at that and say, the devourer is rebuked for my name's sake. That's scripture. If you don't know that scripture, then you ain't going to say it. And that means the enemy got something on you. Oh, he don't know his rights. Right? Come on, there's a good way of fighting and a bad way of fighting. A good way of fighting is fighting by faith, right? Which is also called to have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Come on. We're confessing and believing, right? Why do we confess? Some people are like, well, I don't know. You know, you just confess. Just confess. I'm just confessing. Yeah. Try to tell somebody, hey, I'm trying to lose weight. And then sit with them and eat a big old fat box of Oreos. What are they going to say to you? I thought you were losing weight. Why? You just gave them the right, right? You gave them the right to make you accountable because you confessed to them that you're believing to lose weight. Now you're held accountable. Why do we confess so that we're held accountable? I'm believing God in this area of my life. Now people are going to hold you accountable to that. Oh, you are believing, huh? Let's see. Come on, because we're going to believe. We're going to see God do those things, and we're going to trust in that. It's a fight. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 5. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. No one engages into warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who's enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he what? Competes according to the rules. So listen, there's one thing that you need to know is when you fight and you're in warfare, if God has given you a purpose and a place and a vision and a word for you for this year, whatever that purpose and vision and purpose is in you, if he's given you that, you might as well know that you're going to have to fight for that. You're going to have to fight for that as a good soldier so you can't entangle yourself with the cares of this world. You can't entangle yourself with your rent and your clothes and what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. What are you going to drink? Doesn't God take care of the birds in the air? And they don't store up. How much more would he take care of us? That's scripture. How much more would he take care of us? We can't entangle ourselves with the worries and anxieties of life when we're in a fight. I guarantee you the warriors and the men that are in the military in the middle of the line and they're fighting the enemy and bullets are flying over their head, they are not concerned if their rent is being paid. They're concerned about the enemy in front of them. They're concerned about overcoming and being victorious with that which is ahead of them. When are we as believers and as Christians going to trust God and count our affairs on those things that God has told us are going to happen and start concerning ourselves with the battle, knowing that we will overcome and we will see that our concerns are not what's happening there, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom, which is kingdom actually means king's domain. That's where the word kingdom means. That means his way of doing things, the area in your life that he has dominion over, that he is in. If we've surrendered our life and we've given our life to the Lord, then we live in his kingdom. Right? And if we live in his kingdom, we're in God's kingdom, his domain. And by living in his domain, that means that our warfare just isn't our warfare. If somebody came into my life, they've invaded God's life. That means, oh, you don't even know. I got some nuclear stuff headed your way. His name is Jesus.
Come on, in the spirit realm, you don't even know when you pronounce that name, Jesus, the head and the name above all names. The name above all names, cancer, sickness, back pain, flu, finances, divorce, all of those things. The name above every name. That's who you live in. That's who you abide in, and his words abide in you. And if you abide in him and his words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it will be done. Because you're living in his domain. You're God's property. And if somebody's coming after you, he's messing with God. And then you can go to God and say, all right, here we go. Let's go. Let's go down. But how many know you got to do your part? See, I think a lot of people forget that being a Christian is a participating sport. Too many people sit on their laurels and wait for God to do something. Go to your job and just sit there and wait for the work to be done so you can take credit for it. See how long you have that job. But we're going to do the same thing with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. God, you go do it, and then when it's done, I can say, yeah, see what God did? Come on, how many knows he wants us to be a part of it? He wants us to participate. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, participate. Okay. How do you get saved? You have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? So what was your part? You have to believe, right? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever just ask, it's yours. That's not what it says. Whoever believes, what's your part? You got to believe. You got to believe he is who he says he is. You got to believe he died on the cross. You got to believe he gave his life. You got to believe he came from heaven, relented his power and omnipresence, came down to earth and became a man and became a sacrifice so we can get back into the presence of God. You got to believe that. If you don't believe that, then you haven't done your part. You got to believe that's your part. How do you believe? With the testimony of people's mouths. I'm telling you, I don't know. If you knew me when I back in the day and you see me now, you'll be like, there is a God. Come on. I mean, shoot, I knew McNutt. If that guy can get saved, anybody can get saved. I was a professional sinner. I was good at it. Come on. But if somebody can look at me and say, hey, if he can change and what's going on in his life, I had people watching me I didn't even know they were watching me. My friends were telling me I hadn't seen them in years and they were watching me. They were saying, I want you to know that I watched you. I said, man, you really have changed. Something is different about you. And I can go, yeah, I'm good like that. No, I said, oh, man, that's my Savior. That's my Jesus. He did that. He did. You want to know him? Come on. So you're going to have to fight. Number two, how am I doing on time? I forgot what time she said. She said I can preach till 3:30. I'm kidding. So one, you're going to have to fight. So I'm kind of compressing this because I actually ministered this to our house, but each one was a whole sermon on its own. So when I preached on the fight, it was a whole hour plus sermon just on the fight. So I'm trying to compress it and give it to you and lessen that so that you guys can get a bigger picture and a broader picture of what God's getting ready to do. One, you have to have a vision. You have to fight, recognize God's got a purpose. He's got a word. He's got a plan. He's got a place for you to go. One, you're going to have to fight for it. Two, you have to have a vision for it. You say, well, why do I have the vision for it? Well, if you don't aim at anything, you're not going to hit anything. Get real. You're only fooling yourself. Well, you know, I'm just believing. What are you believing? You know, God will just do stuff. You ain't believing nothing. You just sound good. You got that Christianese, right? You know what Christianese is, right? You've been in church long enough that you got all the words. How you doing? Blessed. Blessed by the best, brother. You don't even know. My God, he's good. And you've fallen apart in all kinds of places. Right? But hey, you got the terminology. That's Christianese. Right? Come on, you have to have a vision. The Bible says that my people perish for lack of vision. In other words, they don't have a vision for themselves. Now, what that vision is for you is going to be different for me. Your vision and what you're believing God to do this year is going to be different from what I believe in God to do. But my vision is no less important than your vision. And your vision no less important than my vision. But your vision is different. So you have to write your vision down. It has to be before you. You have to have something to aim at. How can you say you have faith when you have nothing you're shooting for? How can you say, oh, I believe God will do it. Believe God will do what? Stuff. Well, you know, there's a preacher who used to go around when they were praying. He would just go by and he would walk by and he'll say, hey, yes, Pastor, what are you praying for? What are you believing for? Well, nothing in particular. He said, well, nothing in particular is what you're going to get. Come on. You have to have a vision. Now, why is it our only vision is based on whatever we're attacking? The only time you're really praying is when something comes up. Oh, that battle. All of a sudden, that battle becomes important. God, oh! You don't even know, God, what's going on. You somehow, he must have been. This, listen, angels, where was I when that happened? Did it just pass me? No. He knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you're at, the things that you're going through. We have to know that God is greater than the situation we're in. But our prayer is always based on, God, fix that. And when there is no problem, when's the last time you visited me? Wasn't I here on Wednesday? And let me give you a hint. Don't pray when you're laying down in bed. Father, I just thank you. You know it's true. And let me give you another hint. Pray in the morning. You pray in the morning, you're shooting for your future. You pray at night, you're asking for forgiveness. And you're asking for what you had to deal with. Instead of in the morning when you're like, okay, God, what you got today? Holy Spirit, what you got today? We got some good stuff happening. But you have to have a vision. So the vision scripture, so you'll know, is Proverbs 28:18. Where there is no vision or revelation, the people cast off restraint. What does restraint mean? It means the act of restraining or holding back or controlling or putting in check. People lose restraint. There's no focus. There's no discipline when there's nothing you're aiming at. If you're shooting for something, like if you shot a goal for losing weight, then you have a goal. You have a vision on where you want to be, and the discipline on that vision is going to be based on how much discipline you have while you're getting there. What am I going to do? How am I? Oh, I'm not going to eat that. I want to eat that. The brother can throw down some tacos and some noodle. I can do it. But is it going to get me where I want to go? That's putting it in check. That's putting those things in focus. If you don't have a vision, then you lose restraint. You have no focus and you have no goal and you have no discipline because you're shooting at nothing. You should have a vision for your life. You should have a vision for your marriage. You should have a vision for your family, your children. You should have a vision for your ministry. And you should have a vision for your personal relationship with the Father. There should be a vision. This is where I want to be next year. If I'm in the same place I was last year as I am this year, then what have you done? Nobody wants to hear that. Because nobody likes to look at themselves, right? Nobody wants to know that they missed it. If you are at the same place that you have always been, because y'all know what insanity is, right? The definition. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you've always been. And if you keep doing the same thing over and over but expect a different result, that's insanity. That's crazy. Why do we do that? Our same prayer life, same Bible reading habits, same church attendance, same. But my God, make this year different. You want something different? Do something different. That's the way it is. You want more? Do more. Right? Come on. I love football. Anybody like football? I'm not going to say anything, Brother Art. You either, Tank. Come on, but in football, they ain't going to practice all week but then show up to the game? What's the game plan, coach? What are we doing? You ain't practiced? You ain't done nothing? But you think you're going to be successful in that game? Come on, how many people are not going to the coach to find out the game plan for the week, and then at the end of the week, they're wondering why they lost? I don't know. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, but expecting a different result. Come on. We got to change that. We have to have a vision. We have to have purpose. And what it is for you is different for everybody else. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're like, you know what? I just want my marriage to be better. I want it to be different. And keep doing what you're doing. It'll be, just be good. Right? How many know good's the enemy of great? It is. How you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'd rather be great. Come on. Good is the enemy of great. Because if you're good, you settled. When you could be great. But oh, I'm good. Come on, men. How you doing? I'm good. Liar. Come on, men. I'm a man. I know. We were made. We were made a certain way. We were made, suck it up, buttercup. Right? My dad, you know, if I was, oh, dad, I'm having a problem. He goes, son, do me a favor. What's that? He goes, I need you to go to the garage. I need you to get a hammer. Yeah, what do I do? He said, I need you to build a bridge and get over it. Come on, we're men. That's what we're called to do. We're men. We're strong. We're islands amongst ourselves, and we wonder why we have problems. That's why God gave you a helpmate. Thank you, Jesus, for my helpmate. I'm telling you, my helpmate is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Don't tell her I said that. Listen, she is everything that I wanted, and everything that I didn't know I needed. That's my helpmate. That's the one who helps me in areas that I need help, where I'm weak in, like my attitude. I have no filter. I'm sorry. I'm a pastor, and I have no filter. I know that's weird. But I'll be in line, and then somebody's got an attitude, and they're a cashier, and I blurt stuff. I think I have Tourette's. I'm all like, yeah, somebody don't like their job. You know, you can get another one, honey. My wife's good about shutting me up. Babe, what? Am I the only one in this line to notice? Help me, Lord. That one's free. Amen. All right, so have a vision. Have a vision for yourself and write it down and make it plain. You have to have a vision. I'm challenging you, church. One, know you're going to fight. Don't be a la-la. Get up and start punching. Know the rules of engagement. If you don't know the rules of engagement, you can't. When the Bible said that it says like an athlete, you can't be successful if you don't know the rules. If you don't know the rules, then you don't know when the enemy's committing a foul. Right? You need to know this. You need to know when the enemy has done something they're not supposed to do, because how many know he'll do it? He don't play by the rules. He'll do it. And by him doing it, if you don't know the rules, he's getting away with it. But if you know the rules, you say, oh, I'm sorry. Ref, foul, foul. Did you see that? Did you see that? Foul, I'm calling a foul. Too many people are running around with unnecessary roughness. You guys are getting beat up when you shouldn't. Come on, you shouldn't. You should know the rules. You should know, oh, no, that's not allowed. When you're a tither and you're a giver and your finances are being attacked, you have a right to speak to that and say, oh, no, you don't touch this. I'm a giver. I'm a tither. You don't touch that. You don't. And it's true. I'm telling you, there was a time with me and my wife to where our bills, we looked at it, and it was about 4 months. We looked at it, and our bills were more than our income. Guess what happened at 4 months? More money, more money, more money. We had money left over. It made absolutely no sense that our bills are paid and we have money, when our bills were more than our income. And we look and we say, that's tither's rights right there. That is a testament to tither's rights right there. And I'll give God all the glory. It does not make sense in the natural. Does not make sense. And we didn't even pay attention. It's just at the end of the month, we still got money. It's like, hey, you want to go out and eat? What? What do you mean, like McDonald's? Like a couple of Happy Meals or something? What? Oh, no. We got money. What? Come on. Because God's good. Amen? Amen. So have a vision, whatever it's for, whatever you're believing for. Have a vision. Write it down. Make it plain. Know the rules of engagement. Know what the enemy can and cannot do. If you don't know, go ahead and read the playbook. I like to call it the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Come on. That's the playbook. Know the rules. Know who you're fighting. Know how he fights you. And know what the rules are. Then have a vision. Know what you're aiming for. Amen? And number two, pack light. You can't take 2024 to 2025. You got to pack light. You got to leave those things behind. And I won't read all the scriptures. They have all the scriptures. I won't read them all, but I'll quote them. It says, cast your cares on him. Don't be full of care. Be careful. Right, what does careful mean? It means full of care. Don't be full of care. Your future and your goal and your plan, that means God's already said that's where you're going. He's already made provisions. What are you worried about? Is God God or not? He either is or he isn't to you. And I'm not trying to be hard, but is God God or is he not? If he is God, then believe in him. Believe he'll do what he says he'll do. Believe he'll take care of you. You're his child. That means that he's already got plans. No matter what's going on, know in confidence God's got it. I just got to do my part. I got to fight. I got to have a vision. I got to believe. I got to press. I got to talk to the game planner so I know the plan. Do your part. Have your vision and pack light. You can't take 2020, well, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through and what I've been through. You're right, and I don't have to. It's not my care. Too many of y'all carry other people's cares. It's not my care. I'm not carrying that to 2025. Honey, you better dump that. Y'all know what I'm talking about in relationships, whatever. We like to call them triggers. Right? Little trigger, somebody says something, you'll be like, what you mad about? What you said? What did I say? That's a trigger. You're like, I don't know what happened. You don't know. And they're mad. Women, you know what I'm talking about. Listen, you mad. Sometimes it's like coming home on emotional jeopardy. I'll take what's wrong with you for $500. And you mad, you don't even know what. You didn't text me today. Wow. Now, don't get me wrong, man, you better learn how to text your wife. Grease that wheel. I'm just saying, you want to celebrate a night, grease the wheel. Throw a little love. Throw a little tension. You know, you're looking good, babe. Yeah. You know what daddy likes. You look good. Right? Throw a little love. Throw a little tension. But sometimes you don't understand because why? There's triggers. There's baggage. There's experiences that you've encountered in your life that you have taken into that relationship, and now that person is now responsible for your baggage. But you're going to take baggage into 2025 when 2025 had nothing to do with 2024. Just like your husband had nothing to do, or your wife. Don't get me wrong, men can too. Men can get triggered. They become a wall. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Are you mad? No. My wife, she knows what to do. She pokes the bear. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Oh, baby, you pouting? Pouting? I'm a man. I don't pout. Oh, I was a little concerned. I thought I saw your little pouty face. Girl, I was just checking. No, I'm not. Man, I'll change it just because I don't want to be accused of pouting. She knows. She's got it down. Right? Come on, you can't take 2024 to 2025. You can't. You have to be able to move into 2025 with leaving that stuff. It says, cast your cares. Cast those things. Why? Because you're not supposed to carry them. You were not built to carry them. You weren't. You were built to a relationship with God to where you cast your cares on Him, trusting and believing that He will take care of those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything that it entails, and everything will be added unto you afterwards. Why do you worry about what you need? Like He don't know? It's a surprise to Him that you need something? He knows. Right? But He says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first His way of doing things. Seek first His domain, His rulership. You want to know if you're saved? Come on, if you know Jesus the Savior or Jesus your Lord and Savior. The difference would be on an island, there's an island, and the island gets attacked, and the enemy turns around and subdues the people and put them in prison. But this king found out about that, and that king came down and set them free and ran off the enemy. Those people that were in that prison now know that king as their savior. And then he said, come over to my kingdom. Come over to my island. Come over to my kingdom, and I'll bless you. I will give you land. I will protect you. I will watch over you, and I will guard you, and you will be mine, and I will be your king. Some people left and went with him. Some people stayed. The people who stayed on that island only know Jesus as their savior. The people who left and went with him to his kingdom know him as Lord and Savior. There's a difference. He's either Lord over your life. That just means, oh, yeah, I'm saved, but I'm doing what I want. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Jesus, you can, yeah, I'm saved, but you can't have that. That's my worry. That's my little pet. I'm justified on being mad and offended. Ooh, I'm mad. You don't know what they did to me. Every time they see them, I'm not even going to say anything to them. Why? So they know I'm mad. They need to know I'm mad at them. You're just petting that little thing. Oh, you're so good to me. Y'all need to let that go. Come on, you ain't taking that to 2025. Not where he wants you to go. Because where he wants you to go and the place he's got designed for you is not going to fit 2024. It's only going to fit 2025. Are y'all ready to go for that? Amen. Come on. How am I doing on time? Did I go over? I'm looking at Sarah to see if she's giving me the eye. Oh. Oh, I don't have my glass. I thought I was Sarah over there. I'm sorry, hon. I'm looking at you trying to give me a, because my wife is good about this too. She thinks I'm preaching a little bit long. She'll try to act all cool about it, and she'll be like. But she knows me, and I'll be looking at her like, what? Are you trying to tell me I'm going too long? What's this? I love her. She's great. But let's just go ahead and allow the Lord to minister. Amen. Can we do that? Are y'all ready to go to 2025? Amen. Come on. Y'all ready? Go ahead and stand with me for a minute. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I give you all glory and praise. And I pray that the word was ministered according to how you wanted it to be presented. I'm only an instrument. You are the manifestation. Father, I pray by the leading of your spirit that you have your way. That your glory and your presence be provided to the people here. Lord, 2025 is our destination. Those things that you have in store for each and every person here individually is made and handcrafted for them. Where do you want them to be, Lord? What do you want them to do? What changes need to be made? Because we know we can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. Something has to change. We have to grow. We have to know you more. We have to press in. We have to fight. We have to have a vision. We have to know what we're shooting at. And we have to know that we can't take our past cares with us, but we have our future in store for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.